broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bush, Woody, Kurt Cosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for October 19th in the year of our Lord, 2015. The goal to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. This is Hour 2 at 2. And, man, we don't need revolution, but we do need restoration of the greatest country on the earth. Kurt's with me. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues. All right. We talked with Lowell Nelson last hour. Those who accept the premise of the welfare state, they're incapable of making principled arguments against welfare, entitlement programs, workfare, and more. That was from last hour. This hour, Kurt, Hawaii declares state of emergency over homeless problem. Russia today. What do you say?
Well, buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Now, first things first, Kurt, you need to note one of the most liberal, socialist, communist, whatever you want to say, one of the furthest states from the supreme law of the land, the Constitution in principle, is melting down because of a homeless problem. Right, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, you know, and what typically happens is when you start handing out all this, you know, all these free goodies, you know, the socialist meccas of the world, well, they kind of get overrun by... what would you call them? Freeloaders, Sam?
Yeah, sometimes they call them squatters, but yeah, I'm with you.
It gets a little tough to deal with, and that's what you've got here.
But, Kurt, the answers are super clear. I'm not really for a separation between church and state, except for when it comes to this. I kind of am thinking the church ought to handle it, and the state ought to get out of the way.
That's right.
What do you think?
Churches and individuals, you know, so much of this is simply... you know, got to be done that way. And, you know, you and I know that, hey, if we knew somebody who was down on their luck, we'd do the best we could to help out. But we wouldn't try to encourage them to stay down on their luck.
We certainly wouldn't sick the IRS after them.
Yeah. And yet what happens so many times is governments, out-of-control governments, look at these individuals as if they're clients because, you know, they want to grow their reach, if you will, governments do. And so then they're happy to have these people that are, well, always staying on the dole. You know, it's a mess.
It's kind of a weird scenario, too. The story goes on and says what we need to do is have the government build houses for them. So I got a question. If I just basically sell my house, pay off all my debts, and then just go to Hawaii and walk around homeless, I could knock on the doors and just say, y'all ought to be, you know, building me a home and such, I'm thinking. That'd be a pretty good way to move to Hawaii, wouldn't it, Kurt?
Well, I guess so.
I mean, I know it sounds absurd, because it is, demonstrating the absurd by being absurd. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff, why would you build them homes? Now, I get if you say, let's create a private sector organization that would be, you know, to try to provide some kind of a hand up for these people rather than a handout. I get that. Maybe job placement programs, maybe some kind of a temporary living arrangement and or food arrangement kind of a scenario, food and water shelter. I get that. But I really think that the nonprofits, that the charitable organizations, that the individuals involved in philanthropy and or foundations, churches, there's all kinds of groups that could handle this, Kurt. And if it's such a problem, what government should do is appeal to these groups and say, you know what, we really need your help in this. It's not something government has authority and or responsibility for. However, we are a Christian nation. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. You are your brother's keeper. I mean, I can think of so many one-liners that can kind of hammer home the reality here. And those who are in power and positions of influence, Kurt, can and should use their influence. And I look at the Davy Crockett example. You know, he spent money that he ought not. He was told by a farmer, "You don't, that money's not yours, my friend." And he agreed. He humbly changed his ways. And then he stood up, and then he did put his money where his mouth is in terms of caring for people. He said, "You know what? I don't have the authority to vote the largesse of the state to do this, but I will take care of business personally, and I would like you to follow my lead." And that's really what we need more of here in America, Kurt, to solve these problems. Are these problems real? Absolutely they are. However, you know, they're real for a variety of reasons. And the solutions relate to kind, charitable acts of love and service. And I think the Savior was the master teacher on that topic, Kurt. And I really think that's how we need to kind of pattern our response after.
You're exactly right.
See, we just committed a terrorist act probably, though, didn't we, Kurt?
Yeah, of course.
Trying to care for the homeless and such like that. Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's sad that they've got a state of emergency over this. But what does a state of emergency even mean? That's kind of a weird scenario. Anyway, it's almost kind of a half martial law scenario. Because a state of emergency means what? All federal government agencies can descend? I mean, it's just bad news bears for sure.
Good point.
Now, I'm sure they got laws saying you can't use a tent, though.
Well, yeah, you know, especially, you couldn't use that. And, you know, we've seen it in the past where churches have been, admonished, if you will, for their, stepping into, competing with the government.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, these, charitable kind of things.
Now, these may be out of sight, out of mind for most Americans, these homeless camps, Kurt, but they are all over the nation. My wife went to Seattle on a business trip just the other day. And when she was there, she said she was driving down the freeway and she'd see these homeless camps right off the freeway. Tent cities just right there. And she mentioned how shocking that was to see. It's one thing to hear about these homeless camps. It's another thing to drive right by and see the struggles of the people. This stuff is real. I don't mean to mock it in any way. This is serious business. The real issue that we have is how do we respond to this in a sustainable and in a scalable way? Sustainable meaning, it's not going to bankrupt the treasury. And scalable meaning, as the problem gets worse, that we can really ramp up in a way that can really address the need. And the answer is churches and charitable organizations, good, honest Americans caring about those around them. But the answer also lies, Kurt, in, we've outsourced ourselves and taxed ourselves right out of reality when it comes to the economic game. Okay, I mean, I could even pay somebody, $30,000 a year. And they'd still be on the ropes financially almost. And I don't mean that rude, and I'm not downing anybody who makes that kind of a salary, but I am really speaking to the fact that that is a struggle for people. Because the taxes are so belligerent, it's 50% of your income. Because the inflation due to dishonest money is so out of control. And because getting a job is so difficult for so many people, because we've simply created an uneven playing field where, hey, businesses can go to Mexico, businesses can go to China, or whatever the case. And really, the American worker in the current overregulated market just flat out cannot compete. Until we change some of those realities, Kurt, the problem is not going to get fixed.
Yep. Good point.
Now, I know politicians that run around going, I'm going to create jobs. Well, bureaucrat, just so you know, you don't have any authority to create jobs. What you need to do is reduce regulations. Yep. And what you need to do is put things in place to create appropriate level playing field competitions. And then with a very few realistic guidelines about honoring contracts, about honesty in the marketplace, et cetera, in other words, the rejection of fraud and manipulation, and then a few regulations about tariffs at the borders and a few other things. Trump has been on the right track with a lot of this, Kurt. You could literally change the game and have an appropriate level playing field quite quickly with very few changes. You'd have to dismantle some government. You'd have to put a couple of guidelines in place. You'd have to ramp up some tariffs at the borders. And you'd create appropriate competition in about 5 seconds. And it could be done quite easily. But we're really not going to solve this homeless problem, Kurt, if the people are immoral, if taxes are belligerent, if we've got unfair, unconstitutional regulatory realities that violate the principles of the fair and free and open market. I'm not for free trade, I'm for fair trade. But when I say the free and open market, I mean the free enterprise system. Okay, if we go towards those things that work, we again can create the greatest economic engine the world has ever known. And unless we do those things, I don't care how many times, you create a bread kitchen, the need will be endless, Kurt.
Great point.
And so you've got to have churches and nonprofits and charitable organizations really jump in. You need to have the governor and the people in Hawaii realizing where the solutions are, and it's not in government. And then you really need to look towards finding a way to change the game. In other words, I can give you food for a little bit of time and housing for a little bit of time, maybe some shelter. something. But really, until you like get a job, until you find a way to become a productive member of society, it's a never-ending process. That's not sustainable. So that's what I mean by the sustainable. Now, the problem when you start using words like sustainable, people think you're an Agenda 21 nut.
Yep.
I'm a Freedom 21 advocate and reject Agenda 21. However, just because they've mocked and stolen the sustainable word, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have general application to the free market and a good, honest, private applying reality solutions. They do. All right, Michelle Duggar reveals what wives should do for their husbands in the bedroom. I know it sounds like a salacious topic. Let me have a stab at it, and you'll see. It'll be a little different than you hope. It is family-friendly. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, as y'all know, Michelle Duggar is the 19 kids and counting, matriarch, Kurt? And the mainstream press wants to turn everything into an absolute sex fest. I think it's wrong, and I think it's wicked, and I think it's evil. And I don't think that sexual topics are wrong to discuss. And I don't think sex is an evil thing. I think it can be turned into an evil thing by Satan, by those who want to destroy God's laws. But I do think sexual relationships are a wonderful blessing if you obey the commandments God has given. It's like fire in a fireplace. It's wonderful. It can provide heat, warmth, safety, stability, all when it's in the fireplace. But when it gets out of that fireplace, it's nothing but trouble. Well, sex is really the same. When we obey God's laws, it's a blessing. When we don't, it becomes a serious, serious problem. Well, here's the issue. There's a very salacious topic in the news. Not because it has to be salacious, but because the mainstream press is making it so. The headline the mainstream press comes up with, Michelle Duggar reveals what wives should do for husbands in the bedroom. Now, they love that topic because, I mean, right there, it's just salacious as could be and generates controversy. And they intentionally know they're throwing the pebble into the pond, creating a firestorm. Now, the story is by Lawrence Bonk, Kurt. And they say Michelle Duggar maintains a blog where she regularly dispatches answers or advice to letters from fans. This time in the newest post, she did both. The matriarch of the Duggar clan did both these things, they say. Her advice, however, is turning some heads. See, they want to make this as controversial as they can. They say it all started when the 19 kids and counting matriarch received a letter from a fan who asked Duggar, what advice would you give to a newlywed wife? I think the question is fair. And I don't think the question has any sexual overtones at all, Kurt. What advice, if you're a mom with a bunch of kids and a husband, what advice would you give to a newlywed wife? It sounds reasonable. And I don't think Michelle Duggar's response was unreasonable either, but I think the mainstream press catapulted it into nothing but a sex fest. And that's the problem with it. Michelle started by talking about how important sexual intimacy is for the health of a marriage. I think Michelle Duggar is right. Anyone can iron Jim Bob's shirt. Anybody can make lunch for him, she wrote. But you, meaning the wife, are the only one that can meet that special need that he has in his life for intimacy. You are it. You are the only one, so don't forget that. That he needs you. Now, I want to just stop there before I continue and say, Kurt, this is not a sexual discussion in a salacious way at all. A young bride is asking, hey, what would you do? What advice would you give me? And Michelle Duggar, a wife and a mother of 19 children, a very busy life, says you cannot forget your husband's need for intimacy. Okay, the sexual relationship is a special one, and only you can give that to him. That is a very important statement that defends God's laws. And that really lays a discussion on the table that, in my opinion, needs to be discussed. We don't need to discuss it in a salacious way. We don't need the dirty details, if you will. But we do need to understand that, you know what, men are reaching in all kinds of places they ought not for that intimacy that they desire. Partly because the feminist movement has made wives believe that there's no responsibility there. And on and on and on. And it's wrong. Now, Duggar suggested that sexual intimacy should trump exhaustion, particularly in a new marriage. So when you are exhausted at the end of the day, maybe from dealing with little ones, and you fall into bed so exhausted at night, don't forget about him. Because you and him are the only ones that can have that time together. No one else in the world, she repeats, can meet that need. She also suggested that wives should make themselves available for their husbands even when they're pregnant. Be available, and not just available by force or by coercion, but be available, joyfully available for him. Smile and be willing to say, yes, sweetie, I'm here for you. No matter what, even though you may be exhausted, you may be pregnant, you may not feel like he feels. And she ended with a reminder, Kurt, that in any marriage, it's not just the marriage couple making decisions. She says God is also involved. It's not just me and the Lord. It's me and the Lord and my husband. Now think about that. So I believe she gave sound, appropriate advice. And I don't really believe this advice is debatable. Okay? I believe that men and women have different needs. And for men, sexual intimacy is an important need. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Do not pervert my words. I do not justify a man going outside of his marital vows for sexual relations, even if his wife isn't willing or involved. Okay, so I'm not justifying his actions in any way. But I am telling you that women who want their men to be faithful ought take Michelle Duggar's advice very seriously. Now, I'm not saying that he has the right to demand she just has sex on demand or any of those kind of things. It is a two-way street. The man needs to be sensitive to his wife. And love is not a selfish, it's a selfless thing. A selfless thing. And the man who sees his wife is really tired might hold off and say, you know what, I know you're so tired, honey. Might we tomorrow or the next day or whatever, and let me give you a back rub and leave you alone and let you get some rest. I think it's a two-way street. And that's kind of the point that I don't think the mainstream press gave Michelle Duggar a chance to really talk about. But Laura, Dr. Laura, Michelle Duggar, and many other women are starting to realize this reality that, you know what, you've got to be available for your husband in an intimate way. And that doesn't mean that he can just be demanding or belligerent. You know what? Men and women are created equal by God with different responsibilities. She's the nurturer, and she should nurture her children, but she should also give love and nurture her husband. Now, he must do things for her too, though. For him to take care of the honey-do list, for him to get home and help with the children, for him to do a little bit of chores around the house and some things like that. He needs to give her what she needs too. Let's be very clear, it's not just a one-way street. However, I'm telling you, we've got a curse of pornography in our land and around the world. We've got a curse of immorality and a curse of breaking of one's marital sacred before God vows. And I submit to you that if women would understand and men would understand how to meet each other's needs, there would be harmony in marriages and stability in relationships. Now, I want to finish on this point that Michelle Duggar made also. It's not just me and the Lord, Michelle says. It's me and the Lord and my husband. I think she gave very solid, sound advice, Kurt, that's not really salacious at all. Except for when you take the mainstream press headline, it becomes salacious in a hurry. What if Michelle would have said, answer to brand new bride, it's not just me and the Lord, it's me, the Lord, and my husband, and men and women should be intimate. And okay, if the mainstream press just wants to get that bang of that salaciousness, I think it's wrong. But I do believe there's an appropriate, sound advice here that the feminist movement has rejected. I mean, the feminist movement believes that anytime a man is involved with a woman, it's virtual rape. However, at the same time, women can just run around and promote the slut movement, if you will, and that's okay. Women can do whatever they want with their bodies. And okay, what about this appropriate discussion between husbands and wives? God has made a man and a woman to come together and to do so forever. And that intimate relationship is one of the blessings of a marriage that Michelle's right. Only that one special woman can do for her man, and vice versa. And we need to cling to that for solutions in America. We don't need to make it salacious. But we do need to appropriately deal with these serious, serious issues if we want marriages to stay together. And we need to realize that it's not just a man or a woman. It's a man, woman, and God.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit TopreserveTheNation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so there's a lot to discuss. Michelle Duggar reveals what wives should do for their husbands in the bedroom. I think that's a very salacious headline, and I think it really perverts what Michelle Duggar was trying to say, Kurt. She was merely saying that husband and wife have a sacred relationship given to them by God. And you know what? You cannot just deny your husband that intimacy over and over and over and over, and then wonder why things aren't going well in the marriage, and eventually wonder why he goes elsewhere. Now, I'm not justifying going elsewhere at all. What I am saying is there is a candid discussion about real responsibility in a marriage and about appropriate intimacy, and it's a two-way street. The husband needs to be gentle to his wife. Both partners in a marriage need to be selfless, need to be humble, need to be easily entreated, if you will, need to be kind and forgiving and look for ways to make their spouse happy. And it's a selfless viewpoint. And so it's a two-way street, but that intimacy component should be there. Now, I believe that Michelle Duggar made great comments that are valuable as could be if discussed properly. She mentions that only that wife can fill that need for her husband. That's a monogamous, God-ordained relationship she's discussing, Kurt. And she says, it's not just me and the Lord, it's me, the Lord, and my husband. She's saying, you know what, in a marriage, it's you and your husband, but you got to consider God as part of your relationship. I don't mean in a weird way, but I mean in a, we pray to God, we obey his commandments together as his children. He loves us as our father, and he cares for us and provides guidelines for stability and safety and happiness and protection. And so... She really made some fantastic comments, but I believe the mainstream press, Kurt, is just perverting this whole discussion into, oh, man, Michelle Duggar believes that there should just be sex 24-7, and, hey, she should, you know, Michelle Duggar believes women should be barefoot and pregnant in the bed or in the kitchen all the time. And okay, and they're absolutely perverting her complete valuable point intent, Kurt, and it's sad to see, and I want to set the record straight. Any comments?
Are you surprised with the way they're treating her?
Oh, no, but I am impressed with Michelle Duggar's points. I think she's absolutely right, and I don't mean that should be done by force in any way. Neither did she. No one meant that, Kurt.
Yeah.
And so you got to take it for what she means it to be.
And on her blog, by the way, she even gives some other, you know, counsel.
That they don't mention.
Well, yeah, because, of course, it's not as... I guess you could say, headline grabbing. But, you know, for example, she says, talk about disagreements privately. Another piece of advice, she says, I'll tell Jill, I guess that's her daughter getting married. She said, don't ever talk about things in front of your children that are supposed to be between you and your husband only. Step aside and say we're going to talk about this privately. And don't ever put your husband down in front of your children or other people, especially your family.
And by the way, that goes two ways, though. Don't ever put your wife down in front of other people. Okay. Exactly. And she means that. They won't say that, though, but she means that, right?
That's right.
Of course she does.
She says, talk privately. We always say in our family we praise publicly, but we correct privately. And that's marriage advice that I would give to anyone. You know, that's pretty good stuff.
I think it's fantastic, Tim, and that's my whole point. Kurt, now, I was able to take this very quote, you know, they want to make it a salacious topic, and turn it into not a salacious topic. You know what? Intimacy between husband and wife is a sacred thing and should be promoted. It's a blessing. It's good.
That's right.
And, you know, if we get too tired, maybe we need to get some more rest and make time for each other. Maybe we need to prioritize our lives a little bit. Maybe we need to simplify and not go to as many whatever. Maybe have our kids in less things. Maybe, you know, a little less complications in our life and make time for one another. Maybe the husband should be selfless enough to let his wife get a good night's rest. You know, I know people think that if you plan your time together, that it's not romantic. It's not spontaneous. It's not. But when you get a lot of children and a lot of responsibilities, sometimes it's flat out necessary. It's kind of like the wife that says, well, I don't want to tell him what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to just know. Yeah, that doesn't go over very well, folks, because guys don't just know. I don't mean to be rude, but we don't. We can't read minds, and we're not a female, so we don't know. But you know what? A little bit of coaxing, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of feminine influence. Before you know it, we can get on track. You just got to love us and be patient with us and get the same things true on the opposite. If a man wants that intimacy out of his wife, he can't just be belittling her in public and being mean to her all day like I'm the boss and you sit down and shut up and listen to me and, oh, by the way, are you interested? Well, of course she's not. What are you thinking? Okay, there's a two-way street about keeping that marriage alive, and it starts with selflessness, Kurt. It starts with thinking about the other before you think about yourself. And I submit to you that if you work on that, it takes practice, though. You don't need to fix your spouse. What you need to do is work on being the best spouse you could possibly be. Anyway, I wanted to just add to Michelle Duggar's device. I don't have 19 kids. I only have 8. I don't bring it up from a female perspective. I bring it up from a male point of view. But 8 kids and 23-plus years of marriage later, I don't know a lot, but I think I'm learning a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really appropriate to understand that men and women are equal before God in terms of their rights, in terms of God's love for them as his children. They have different attributes, though, and different male and female gender characteristics to bring to the table, which create a greater. In other words, they're complementary. And we can learn how to take care of those complementary needs. A woman wants to feel like she's provided for. A woman wants to feel like she's protected. A woman wants to feel like she's special. A woman wants to, okay, and I'm telling you right now, there are ways to think of the other before yourself on both sides of that equation. And in doing so, I submit love will be unlocked.
Yep.
And I don't need to go into the salacious details for that. But you know what? Husbands and wives can take care of that on their own. But I can talk candidly about the ways to improve relationships, the ways to prevent the stumbling blocks and troubles in the first place in a very candid way. And I really like that monogamous viewpoint that Michelle brings out. And then she says that you got to have God in your marriage, Kurt. And I believe that's true. A husband and wife need to turn to God for guidance and for forgiveness and for all kinds of things. And when you do, things change. And so the mainstream press cannot talk about monogamous relationships, cannot talk about God in relationships, cannot talk about monogamy and all these kind of things, stability in marriage and you know, those things. Because that would actually keep the family together, Kurt. If families stayed together, the country would be strong and everything.
Yeah, great point, Sam.
But I was impressed with Michelle Duggar's blog, and I think that the mainstream press used a salacious headline and perverted most of what she said, Kurt. It's sad to say, but I wanted to set the record straight and add a couple of my own personal life experience observations.
Very good,
Sam. All right. Texas Rancher fights back, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, it looks like, you know, I don't know if you want to say it's deja vu all over again, but you know, it looks like there's a little bit of, you know, trouble down in Texas. They got a northern Texas rancher that says property that's been in his family for over half a century is now suddenly being targeted for confiscation by the Bureau of Land Management. Now, you'll have a hard time finding that in the Constitution because, man, you're going to have to read between the lines, if you will. But this guy, Ken Adderholt, he runs cattle on his roughly 1,250 acres in Harold, Texas. That's along the Red River, in case you're wondering. It forms the border between the Lone Star State and Oklahoma. I guess his family has had a deed to the land since back in 1941, and he's hoped to pass the property and the family business on to his sons. He says that boys come down here to play, they help with the cattle, and they help building fences. They're very interested in hanging around here and helping me out, but according to the Bureau of Land Management, the same federal government agency that, by the way, confronted our buddy Cliven Bundy down in Nevada, some of that land belongs to the feds, and they want the Adderholts off of it. Now, you're going to have a hard time finding that info in the Constitution, but furthermore, they say the BLM claims the deed that proves the Adderholts' ownership of the land given to his parents by the state of Texas is worthless. Yeah. Anyway, I guess Adderholt himself said the BLM is saying we should never have had a deed to it, that Texas should never have produced that deed. But, of course, you know, they might forget that the states created the federal government, not the other way around.
They also might forget, Kurt, that the federal government has very tight restrictions on the reason it could even be involved in property or land discussions, all codified and articulated and enumerated in the supreme law. And so the federal government can be involved in land on a few different scenarios. One, they got to have consent of the state to even consider the land. Which would mean the state legislative bodies. Secondly, there's only an enumerated list of reasons the federal government can have land. I think it has something to do with, like, dockyards and that kind of stuff. Arsenal. Places to store ammunition
magazines,
and equipment. Magazines.
Them.
Yeah. Okay, and that list is there.
What you read.
We're not talking about ranches, Kurt. So
no,
the federal government flat out violated the supreme law. They're out of control and must be stopped. It is private property. When we come back, former Chicago school chief in trouble. Details on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, former school chief goes down a massive corruption bust, Kurt.
Well, yeah, and of course, this individual spent a lot of time in the slammer, of course.
What are you talking about? He'll probably become like the education czar for Barry and crew.
Well, that's exactly right. By the way, it's actually a lady. I don't know, maybe I'm using the term loosely, but she was appointed by Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Don't go there. You can't talk about lady and loosely at the same time.
Yeah, good point. But anyway, the lady's name is Barbara Bird Bennett. So she's got a lot of the right names, you know, Barbara Boxer and Bird, you know, and Bennett. I mean, she's got all that stuff. They say that, you know, surprisingly, she steered a no-bid $20.5 million contract to a consulting company called Supes, S-U-P-E-S Academy, and it was all in return for some bribes and the promise of a job after she left her post.
Now, Kurt, I mean, what's the difference? All those guys take bribes all the time. Not all of them, but most.
You never see this with presidents or, you know, guys like that or Congress critters. I mean, you know, they never, you know, get special offers and then, later find themselves, as lobbyists for the particular company that they were, kind of working for. I mean, this is just so unusual to see, isn't it, Sam?
Well, it just happens all the time, and then most of the time when it hasn't happened yet.
Well, you just haven't heard about it. You
know? Yeah. Well, like Hillary, you know, I mean, she's gearing up to be president, Kurt, and she's got so many scandals, it's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, great point.
All right, the establishment thinks the unthinkable, Kurt.
Well, yeah, Sam, they're kind of shocked now because now they're thinking that Mr. Donald Trump could win the nomination. Yeah, they say it began as whispers in hushed corners. Could it ever happen? Yeah, and now just 3 months from the Iowa caucuses, members of the Republican establishment, now they're very pointing out facts, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a Republican establishment. The good old boys behind the scenes who are the movers and shakers and pick the candidates for you and me, for us to vote for. But anyway, in this case, they're starting to give voice to an increasingly common belief that they once dismissed as a joke. They called him a carnival barker, a circus freak, and they say the same guy they called all those things, he might very well win the nomination. One individual, Ed Rollins, who served as the national campaign director for Reagan's 84 reelection and as a campaign chairman for Mike Huckabee back in 08, he said Trump is a serious player for the nomination at this time.
But let me just stop you for a second, Kurt, and say this. Where does the mainstream press get off determining that someone's a carnival barker and all these derogatory terms about, oh, they're not qualified, oh, they can't cut? I thought we teach little kids in school that anybody can be president of the United States. Kurt, this is the place where you can have the American dream. And then you grow up and you become this rock star businessman, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then you're a carnival barker. Okay, you're just nobody of consequence of any kind. Okay, where does the mainstream press get off? They run around acting like they're the news service. We report, you decide. By the way, don't vote for the carnival barker. Yeah, and these people are exactly crazy. Right. And so I'm mocking them a little bit because that's the narrative. They're the gatekeepers. The government's in bed with the media. The media's in bed with the government. They create this globalist inside narrative that the mainstream press trumpets to the behest of the insiders. Okay, now, I personally am not for Trump. That's just my opinion. Okay? Yeah. But nevertheless, whether I'm for Trump or not, I'm going to defend this idea that, look, why don't you just let the American people determine the merits or the lack thereof of given candidates based on how they present themselves, based on their answers, based on their experience in life, based on their I don't know what you want to call it, resume, whatever, and let the American people decide. Why do you put in this manipulation? Well, he was a carnival barker. Now he's a legitimate candidate, and by golly, he could just win the nomination. What changed? And you see, for different reasons, they did the same thing to Ron Paul. Oh, he's just a congressman and a doctor. He doesn't have a clue. He used to be a libertarian. And they go on and on and on, and they really try to disqualify him before he ever even gets started, when that's not their role, Kurt. They're supposed to have a who, what, when, where, why scenario to the news. They're supposed to be objective and let you decide, and they're supposed to just report nothing but the facts, ma'am, kind of an idea. And then they run around with all this. They did it to Ron Paul. Now they're doing it to Donald Trump. They do it to Ben Carson. Okay, racial slurs are wrong unless you're going to commit a racial slur against Ben. Then it's the right thing to do, thinks the mainstream press. Okay, these people are off their rockers in so many ways, and here's the point. We're all realizing this and seeing this firsthand. I've talked about it forever and documented case after case, but it's getting so blatant I can't even document all the cases now. It happens every day where you see their agenda and their manipulation and stuff like that. So anyway, all I'm telling you is the mainstream press really has some accounting here, or accountability here, that we need to hold them accountable on. Carnival Barker? Why would you say that for one of the most successful businessmen in modern history?
Well, it always makes me think when you talk about this, and when we see these stories, Sam, always reminds me of the so-called, and I don't know, you know, how much truth there was to it, but even if it wasn't true, you know, ask yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think this kind of goes on. But way back in 1880, they say this one guy, Mr. John Swinton, who was a preeminent New York journalist, that means, you know, pretty hotshot guy, and they had him as a guest of honor at a banquet, and, you know, everybody was around all listening to his fancy talk and stuff like that, and he was getting toasted by the independent press, you know, saying, man, you guys are cool. You're really doing a good job. And he ticked off his colleagues, and he said, hey, there's no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions. And if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper I'm connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone.
And there's a lot of dispute how accurate that tale really is, but here's the point, Kurt.
True.
If you wonder how true it is, just go ask our buddy Sean Bergen.
That's exactly right. We've seen it ourselves. It's not like, you know, just a poppycock story. You know, and then he finishes up, he says, hey, the business of the journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it, and what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men. We're talking about them in this other story. You know, the basically the establishment. Rich men behind the scenes, we are the jumping jacks, he said. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes.
But that's not true at Liberty Roundtable, Kurt, because I own the media here.
Yeah.
I own Liberty News Radio and Liberty Roundtable. Sam and Kurt tell it as we see it. Okay, right. We do our very best to keep Americans safe and free and stable and point the directions to solutions every time. And I submit to you, he who owns the media makes the rules. And if you want to make the rules, you better help us own a piece of the media, folks.
Yes.
And I don't care if you want to just support us or if you want to go do it yourself. I'm not interested in stifling competition or control. No. I'm interested in the truth. And we're really trying to build something that matters here. And with teeny dollars and teeny voices out of small things, great things shall be accomplished, saith the Lord. I see it's true, Kurt. We run this thing on a shoestring. These guys spend more dollars on one trip to Hawaii or trip to somewhere for Michelle Obama or one of these people than we spend in 10 years on this program, on this network. And little pennies could go a long way. And the fact is, even though the mainstream press pretends we don't exist, the fact is they mock us at every turn. The fact is, they don't know what to do with us because they're so shocked at how we may not even get our day in the sun, but we influence and force the right narrative onto the table every time. And I'm not really for Trump, but I will say this. What's going to determine if Trump is the nominee or not, Kurt? You want to know the answer? The mainstream press.
Yeah.
They will decide that, Kurt, flat out. If that's what they will it to be, because they take their direction from the, quote, globalist insiders, then that's what it'll be. If they don't want him to have the nomination, I don't care what he does or says, he will not get the nomination.
And what they did, in my opinion, is they maybe you could say underestimated the power that they have by simply promoting him so well at the first, in the early days of his
either
campaign.
That or they're still playing you like a fiddle and you don't know it.
Well, maybe so.
And I don't know the answer either, by the way. I don't know whether they're going to make him the nominee or not. I do know, though, that if it's going to happen, the mainstream press will endorse it, even if they pretend that they don't. Because if they don't, it will not happen. I do know that for a fact. Whether they've miscalculated, whether they were for it and now they're against it, or whatever you want to say, I don't know the answers to those questions. Kurt may be right as well. But I'm telling you right now, he who owns the media makes the rules. And if they do not want him to be president, he will not get the nomination. If they do, then he will. And it's that simple. And where they stand and what they're going to do, I know not. I'm not part of the inside group. But I can watch the handwriting on the wall, and I can tell you what I see as I see it. And if we want to make sure that we make the rules, we better own the media. It is absolutely that clear. But the new media is taking center stage, and we're making a difference beyond our wildest expectations. This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.